So someone, and I don't remember who, asked me to speak about working with trauma and as part of our mindfulness practice. And so that's what I'm going to do tonight. And I have to say that, oh yeah, I studied trauma years ago. I've dealt with trauma within my own experience. I know a lot about trauma, right? And so this past week, really reading up on it, and Jamie over here sent me a bunch of information on the, as a trauma therapist, and I have to say I'm just so humbled by what I've uncovered this week about trauma. And what I also realize is that most of us are traumatized. I don't think that you can get through the human life without some residual trauma. So here's the Chinese text, the I Ching, I think that's how you say it, or I Ching. Quote, the fear and trembling engendered by shock comes to an individual at first in such a way that he sees himself placed at a disadvantage. This is only transitory. When the ordeal is over, he experiences relief, and thus the very terror he had to endure at the outset brings good fortune in the long run. So it's pointing to the transition from something positive to negative. You know, I forgot to turn that around. If I could get a Vanna White to turn that around while I'm talking, I'd appreciate it. So just a show of hands here. Has anyone here ever gotten into a really difficult negative mind state that kept repeating for, you know, long period that you just couldn't let go of? Show of hands. Oh, okay. Has anybody here felt like a deep, dark, heavy mood has transcended on them and just doesn't seem to want to leave for long periods of time? Okay, show of hands. Has anyone ever felt that when someone has said something, this hyper, like, what is that green guy?
The Hulk.
The Hulk arises inside and there's this, like, major overreaction with trembling and shaking and confusion and anything like that? Okay. I'm just going through a lot of different... Anybody have this inner critic that just is so brutal and starts and will not stop really loudly? Okay, I see a couple hands. So these are all potential indications that you've have residual, unresolved, unhealed trauma. I'm not saying that it's definite, but there are signs if you have a lot of these, and if they're particularly regular or really, really overly intense when they arise. And there's so many more other indications that I'll talk about a little bit if I have time. But a lot of people come to me on an individual basis, and I learned about trauma years ago. I took some classes, Peter Levine classes. He's a somatic experiencing trauma-based therapist. Because so many people were coming to me with what appeared to be trauma, and they're wanting to meditate. Oh, anybody feel a lot of regular anxiety? Mm-hmm. Oh, this could go on. This is getting really ugly, isn't it? This could go on. Yeah, these are all signs of unresolved trauma. So Franklin D. Roosevelt, you may have heard the quote there where he said, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Well, I disagree with that. I think that... main thing that we have to fear is this unresolved, unhealed trauma that gets stored in the body, right? The truth is we're wired to fear or to resist unpleasant experiences. That's part of our wiring, to keep us safe, to get us away from danger, right? But trauma is a whole new category of just regular fear. Trauma, unhealed, unresolved trauma, can create states of inner terror. Just so much inner stress and depression and anxiety. But according to Peter Levine and his work on helping people heal, he helps people heal from severe trauma, and a lot of trauma-sensitive therapists do as well. We're also wired to heal from trauma. And we can actually grow from it and have a positive experience as a result. I can't quite see that. In fact, he considers it a sense of awakening that we can have from healing from trauma. So I'll get to that later. I'd want to say that I don't consider myself an expert. I'm certainly not an expert on trauma. I've studied it. I've learned it so that I can help people, particularly on retreats, deal with really intense energies that are coming up. It would be irresponsible of me not to learn about trauma as a mindfulness teacher. I personally have experienced a lot of trauma in my life, and the reason why I'm very intrigued about trauma, and one of the reasons I learned so much about it, is because I've had to do a lot of healing of my own layers of trauma. You know, and I think, oh, this layer is healed. Ah, here comes a new layer to heal. But I've experienced, my parents were both traumatized people, so they perpetuated the trauma onto their children. So I experienced a lot of physical abuse and emotional abuse growing up. I've been held at knife point. I've been held at gunpoint. I've been sexually assaulted on 3 different occasions, 2 of which I was able to get away from. I've witnessed severe accidents. I've witnessed someone die in an accident. And I've been in several accidents. I sat down while doing this, and how many traumatic experiences have I had, like really traumatic, where you're shaking for hours, maybe even days afterwards? And at bullet points, I did a page and a half. I was like, oh my gosh, no wonder I've had to deal with debilitating anxiety and restlessness and a lot of hindrances in my practice. If you've ever experienced debilitating anxiety, restlessness, chronic physical pain, these are all manifestations of potential unresolved trauma. Unhealed trauma can continue to re-traumatize us until we heal it. And so it's really important that we learn to drop into a legitimate path of healing of our trauma if we have some to heal. There are different levels of trauma, from mild to moderate to severe trauma, and everyone has experienced trauma in different ways. So it doesn't have to be some like really intense experience for, some people are traumatized by one experience that wouldn't traumatize someone else, and vice versa, all over the place. So we're all sensitive to different things. So during a traumatic event, threatening, first of all, you have to feel a threat, right? And that hyper-arousal state is, it's automatic that we're animals. This is, we do exactly what animals do, right? We get this threatening cortisol gets released, and adrenaline, and these chemicals, biochemicals are released. They boost to activate our muscles to get away so that we can do our fight flight and to protect ourselves during this threat. So this hyper-arousal state, it occurs. Our heart rate goes way up. There's tingling in our extremities. Blood goes to the legs to be able to run. The muscles constrict. The shoulders, neck and everything up here kind of tighten and constrict. Neck and back, we start to sweat. Our nervous system goes on high alert, right? This really hyper-arousal state. And I'll go through all of these. But we're supposed to go through this cycle, this trauma cycle here, that animals go through. And this is what Peter Levine teaches us, that we're supposed to, we go through the threat and hyperarousal, right? The fight, flight, or freeze happens. And then afterwards, after the threat is gone, then we're supposed to go through this discharge process, where anybody after a severe event just find themselves shaking out of control. Right? That's the body discharging and working through all this cortisol and adrenaline. We're supposed to go through this process. And then there's the reenactment slash anger period. Really strong emotions can come up during this. We might be playing the situation over and over and over again in our head and getting angry. Animals will, for instance, there was a story about three little tigers that were chased by another animal and got away. They climbed up a tree. I guess it was a tree. Three little cubs, whatever they were. They got up in a tree and they got away from the attacker. And then afterwards, they came down, they were all shaking, and then they all started reenacting the attack, and they each took turns being the victim. So the other two would attack the third one, and then the third one would get away. And then that one became one of the attackers. So they all took turns being the attackers and allowing their other cub friend to get away, right? So they were reenacting it so that they could survive and survive the threat. So that was the reenactment and releasing that anger. A lot of animals will just run around like crazy with all this extra energy after they're done quivering and shaking. And they're releasing all that anger and really strong emotions. And then after they go through these processes, the last stage is the equilibrium awakening stage. And the equilibrium, not only do you come back down to feeling really peaceful, but you can feel elated and blissful. And it's a state of feeling awakened, like you have a hyper-awareness of big picture awareness. There's can be a lot of love and gratitude and positive emotions. You know, a new aliveness, maybe a new inspiration on life. So it's a very positive place after we get through this process. And with animals, they'll be playing and all happy and, you know, life of the party. But the problem is, if we don't allow ourselves to go through these stages, we don't allow ourselves to complete the stages, we can get stuck, right? And that the trauma cycle, the energy will stay locked in the body. The brain continues, it gets stuck and frozen in the body, and the brain continues to tell us that we're still in danger, as long as the energy is in there. That's why the brain is so why we're so hyper-reactive, if we haven't gone through this healing cycle, according to Peter Levine, right? So he talks in his book, if you ever want to read more about this, this is a great book, In an Unspoken Voice, from Peter Levine. His whole life practice was, first, he started watching animals, trying to learn how they dealt with trauma. That's where he learned a lot. And he witnessed, you know, after people shot an animal to, the caretakers wanted to, what is it, tag them and check their blood and everything, and they would chase them down with a gun and then shoot a tranquilizer. They're trying to get away. And then after they come and release them back and they're coming out of the tranquilizer stuff, they would just lay there awake, shaking and going through these cycles and processes. So he learned a lot from that. Then when he was working with a woman one day, he intuitively said something to her like she had chronic anxiety and panic attacks. She went to every therapist, everything, she just couldn't get it better. And he intuitively figured she needs to release some of this trauma. So he screamed something like, "Be careful, there's a tiger after you." something like that. And she freaked out and started shaking, and she quivered and shook for a long time. And then afterwards, she no longer had any more anxiety or panic attacks. So then he designed all of his studies and work based on his work with people. But what happens, we're designed just like animals to go through the same exact process. We have the same wiring as animals to go through it. But our problem is the frontal cortex stops us from going through this process. The frontal reasoning, logical, you know, part of our brain takes over and tells us, I shouldn't be shaking like this. There's something, what?
Wrong.
Right? I'm freaked out. There's something bad, wrong. So we stop our process. We go running to find someone to talk about it. Or we go have a drink, or we turn on the television to watch a movie, or we distract ourselves from going through this process in some way. I was held at knife point. A guy jumped in my car. I didn't know it years ago. Anyhow, long story, I was able to get away. I used my brains. But anyhow, I was so crystal clear during the, you know, my life is probably over here, during the entire event. But when I got away and I was on my way home, I just started shaking. My whole body was shaking so hard I could barely drive. And then I got home, and I'm shaking, and my husband was like, what's wrong? And I told him, and he was like, okay, come here, let's have a drink. Let's smoke a joint. Let's, you know, you don't need to be feeling this way. And I realized when I was learning this stuff that I totally stopped my healing process of this trauma. And I can look back another time I had a severe trauma. And I was living with my ex-mother-in-law at the time, who was a nurse. And I got home and I was shaking really badly. She gave me a sedative. She gave me a shot right away. So as human beings, we think there's something wrong with us. We don't let people go through this cycle. What's great about Buddhism and mindfulness is we learn quickly through our process that we're not in the driver's seat. Have you noticed that? Anybody notice that? That beliefs and memories and thoughts and behaviors just kind of show up on their own, right? In fact, I've been on a lot of retreats. Unbeknownst to me, I've been healing a lot of trauma energy on retreats. I go on long retreats, and I've seen clearly how these things arise, and they come up in the nervous system. And really interesting is I do really well on retreat the first 3 or 4 days on retreat, 5, maybe even week, and on these long retreats. Usually around after this five to seven day period, almost every single evening, I am sitting there thinking that I'm dying. I'm sitting in my meditation cushion. It feels like my whole body is shaking like this. And I bring loving kind awareness to it. I do all the practices in order to work with really high anxiety. I use all the mindfulness techniques. And, you know, and I think, wow, I have really high anxiety to deal with. This is my hindrance. That's what I've been thinking. And retreat after, we're talking 30-some years of practice, and anxiety continues to be arising from time to time through these periods where I open my awareness to them, I do body scan practice in order to deal with them, I hold these contractions and shaking with compassion. I open my eyes and guess what? My body's not shaking. But the insides feel like I'm having an earthquake inside, right? It's really interesting. And I found different practices that work incredibly well. one thing I've noticed is noting practice works really well with it. Like shaking, quivering, aversion, whatever's arising, fear, anger. So what I've noticed is these cycles, and I had no idea this is trauma until this week when I'm reading this, and I'm like, oh my gosh. So what's happened on retreat over and over, probably 20 times, maybe more, is that I go through these days of really high anxiety, think I'm going to die, open up to it, relinquish, you know, totally surrender to it, and then I, you know, get really like emotional and have a great emotional and cathartic experience with all the shaking. It comes to a head, and then all of a sudden, I feel enlightened, right? I'm loving the world is loving me, I have this clear crystal awakening experience, I'm one with everything, it's really interesting. And then I stay like that usually for the rest of the retreat unless a new layer bout arises. So unbeknownst to me, and then trust me, it's not the whole time. I have many days of bliss and love and connection on my retreats, but occasionally these layers have been coming up that I work with, and this is exactly what I've been going through. I didn't realize it. Interesting. So what's when we do mental, you know, labeling or noting of our practice, I read somewhere recently that it brings us, so when we're going through our hyper-arousal state, the amygdala is in charge, the fight, flight, or freeze part of our brain. But when we mentally label our experience, it brings us back to the prefrontal cortex, which can calm the prefrontal cortex, parts of it can calm the amygdala down and regulate our experience. So noting can help bring resources to our trauma situation. But the one most important thing, if you... you have to feel safe to work with your trauma. You have to feel really safe. And I would say don't do it alone. Like, don't go there alone. you know, there's certain places in life that you shouldn't have gone alone. Maybe that's why you have residual trauma. I would say to get a trauma therapist, someone that's really trained in working with this, or someone that trained in really good mindfulness-based practices that knows how to work with these energies. Because number one, you have to feel safe to work with your trauma. That's the most important thing. If you don't feel safe, do you think your nervous system is going to allow you to feel any of this or to work through any of it? So a sense of safety is really important. Yeah, since the second thing is you want a resource. You want to have resources. What I mean by resourcing is that support. The caring, loving support. A lot of times in therapy, you'll create that, the safe place, you know, that you come back to when you're freaked out, that you need to come back to. Does anyone here ever create your safe space in your mind? So it's usually somewhere that you've been in your life where you felt incredibly relaxed and content and nurtured and everything was okay in the world. If you've never felt that way, then you create one in your own mind's eye, right? The book by Tara Brach is great, True Refuge. If you've ever read that or want to, she has so many wonderful things about resourcing, about creating the supportive structures that you need to be able to go to the deep, dark, difficult places. You know, create a loving grandmother or a best friend or... yeah, there's so many things to do. But
what was that book?
True Refuge by Tara Brach. But we need to find our way back to the body. This trauma can only be healed in the body, with the body, because it's stored in the body. right? You're not going to heal it through talking about it, through thinking about it. You've got to be able to go, according to Peter Levine, to the body with mindful awareness, with compassion awareness, with resourcing, with support. When you're working with these energies in the body, see, I learned years ago how to titrate. So you go to the, if when the, for me, when the shaking became overwhelming, so you go to this energy, when it becomes overwhelming and you think you're going to freak out and can't handle it, you go find something pleasant, maybe a pleasant sensation in the body, or you go to your resource or your support or your happy, safe place. And you titrate, you pendulate, pendulum, back and forth between the trauma energy and then the balancing, safe, nurturing energy, and back and forth and back and forth. If you don't heal this trauma, oh, it was really interesting. I was watching a video a while back, and the trauma therapist was saying that anyone who has a dead look in their eyes where they're kind of unemotional and really serious and maybe analytical, or that's unresolved trauma. Because when you have unresolved trauma, you have the disconnection between your mind and your body. So a lot of people who've had severe trauma are not embodied. They're not connected to their physical sensations. In fact, most people don't even notice their body until it's screaming in pain or with some severe malady or disease or something. You become disassociated. Your emotional body becomes disconnected from your mental body. So there's a disassociation. A lot of people aren't aware of what their emotions or their physical body if they have unresolved trauma. And the mind can easily, because of this disconnection, the mind can easily get fixated on issues and loop out of control for long periods of time, irrational loops. People with unresolved trauma are paranoid. They have irrational fears often. One of the last retreats I led, a young man had this inner critic that wouldn't leave him alone. And he said it was so debilitating that he actually left because it was paralyzing him, right? He has probably some, I told him to please see a good trauma therapist. Feelings of helplessness, hopelessness, feeling paralyzed in life, having severe bouts of depression that go, you know, over and over and over again. These are all contracted shoulders and neck pain. Anybody have that? You know, like, yeah, anyhow. Social anxiety, isolating. These are all potential signs of trauma that you might want to go work through. We deserve to be free from this trauma, and to not only do we traumatize ourselves over and over again, because the unconscious mind tends to put ourselves in similar situations over and over and over again to help, because it wants us to resolve this trauma. That's why I had a page and a half of bullet points, right? We need to... So we get re-traumatized. We re-traumatize ourselves, and guess who else we're re-traumatizing? People we're in relationships with, our intimate relationships, our children, whatever. So we're going through life, everything's fine. Then we hear about perhaps someone perpetuating abuse in our political arena or our personal arena, economic arena, or spiritual lives, and we freak out. It ruins our day. Some people, it ruins their life. This may be some residual trauma that they need to work through from previous abuse that they've had that traumatized them. Oh, the freeze response can be so re-traumatizing. Anybody ever leave a very upsetting situation and going, I froze. I didn't say anything. Right? I got so confused. That's potential trauma. So the way that we re-traumatize ourselves is one of the attacks that I had, I froze. And then afterwards I was like, I tried to fight back at first, and then when I realized I wasn't strong enough to get away, I just froze. And then for years, until I went and worked through some of the, in therapy, I had all this guilt. Why did I freeze? I mean, I should have done something. So I beat myself up for years for letting myself get accosted that way, when the actual animals are wired to freeze. And like a vast majority of the time, they actually get away when they play dead. The whole nervous system just shuts down. Right? We're wired to do that. It's not our fault when we freeze or shut down. It's part of our wiring for survival. Yeah, there's so much more. I'm just scratching the surface. Anyhow, so you might want to learn more about this if you want to, you know, feel really happy and free. I'm sure talk to Jamie or any other trauma-sensitive therapists in here. Yeah. Allow yourself to go through this process. Create this environment for safety if you feel that you've been traumatized. And then you will enjoy the flow state afterwards, the state of awakening, of freedom, right? You deserve to be free. We all deserve to feel great. We all deserve to be awake and awakened. And that's the potential of our healing of our trauma, right there. Here's Rumi. Sorrow prepares you for joy. It violently sweeps everything out of your house so that new joy can find space to enter. It shakes the yellow leaves from the bough of your heart so that fresh green leaves can grow in their place. It pulls up the rotten roots so that new roots hidden beneath have room to grow. Whatever sorrow shakes from your heart, far better things will take their place. So whoever asked me to talk about trauma, I thank you because this has been a very enlightening exploration. And I'll probably go seek out a somatic experiencing therapist after this. Yeah, thank you.